Ramble.
Get ready to rumble! Welcome to Guilty Pleasures, the first edition of Movie Fight. Today we have a very special episode where we are going to be discussing the Chris Farley classic?
Masterpiece.
Beverly Hills Ninja. And it's a very special episode because we have two buddies joining us in the studio who are ready to throw down over the merits of this film. Chris, what?
I feel bad because, like, if you would have asked me a few months ago if Beverly Hills Ninja was a good movie, I might have said yeah.
And then you saw the light.
And then I watched it.
If you were to ask me 5 seconds ago if I thought Beverly Hills Ninja was a good movie, I would say it's not a good movie. It's a perfect movie.
So Kelsey and Garrick are taking another summer week off. I'm Zach Kornfeld. But joining us in the studio, returning, we have, from the Wine and Weed podcast, Mr. Chris Reinecker. Yo, Chris.
Thank you for having me, Zach.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well.
Last time we were here, we talked about George of the Jungle.
We did.
Which, perfect.
Which is actually a delightful rewatch.
Yeah.
You know, Brandon Fraser? Rewatches you have and you, it was actually kind of better than you thought.
I don't think I've rewatched that as an adult.
A pleasure.
Oh, you should. And sitting opposite him in the red corner, we have comedy legend, maestro on the mic.
Keep it going.
Mustachioed maven.
There you go.
Wait.
Jared Papa Popkin.
Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding. I should say also, Jared, Chris, before we get started, best friends.
Yes, of course. And we have known each other for 10 years. And we actually know each other originally through a comedy capacity.
Yes.
We met at Second City Chicago.
Yes, we did.
So we're going to be getting into a classic comedy today. And
if we don't look like
it
friends.
Will get personal, partially for our love for each other, our love for comedy, you know, and we write things together. So.
I'll end this entire friendship over this.
We may not be writing things together
after this.
We will.
The closer you are as friends, I think the more freedom you have to fully unload on them.
Yeah.
And so what's been happening here the last couple days is that Jared brought up Beverly Hills Ninja starring Chris Farley, a film that you may or may not recall from the 90s. It was the third in a string of Chris Farley hits following Tommy Boy and Black Sheep.
Yep.
And Jared very firmly stated that it was not just a great comedy, not just a classic comedy, but in the pantheon of the greatest pieces of cinema ever created. Is that fair to say?
I don't know if I said that, but I stand by it.
You're hanging there?
I stand by it.
Look, a lot of people doing a lot of cocaine had a lot of fun. You know,
isn't that all you want out of a good comedy?
I think they had fun, but a perfect movie is far from true.
Chris mentioned that he rewatched the movie
during the quarantine one
and thought that it was
surprisingly
not
bad.
I'm surprisingly shocked.
And let me be clear. I'm not going to argue that Chris Farley is not a good performer. That is not going to happen here today. I think Chris Farley is an incredible performer. I wish we gave him a third wonderful script to do instead of this thing.
Ooh, look at Jared.
Sketch, it's a funny idea.
I'm going to let the gloves fucking come off. I'm going to probably just stand back and watch. But before we dive in, if you don't know Beverly Hills Ninja, I'm going to give you a quick synopsis.
Nice.
And then, Jared, we're going to come over to you for the pro. Okay?
I'll give whatever info you need.
I would also like to give some pros.
Yeah, you I know? Love it. Yeah. We're going to do our normal.
I have no negatives.
We're going to do our normal guilty pleasures thing. Guys, if you're listening, if you like the show, please rate it. I normally say that for the end, but it helps people find the show, helps us get super dope guests, helps us just keep doing the thing that we're doing. So without further ado, Beverly Hills Ninja stars Chris Farley as Haru. He fell off a ship as a baby and was adopted by a team of ninjas in Japan and trained as one of their own. Kind of like Kung Fu Panda a little bit.
A little bit of Tarzan in there.
A little Tarzan. And there is a prophecy of the Great White Ninja. But
little
Haru,
George of the Jungle.
Little George of the Jungle. But George of the Jungie.
Jungie boy.
George of the Jungie.
It's George of the Jungie.
We're all on board for George of the Jungie.
I love George of the Jungie.
Hell yeah. You guys just want to talk about George of the Jungie again?
Let's do it again.
Haru, though, is not a great ninja. His brother, brother, he's a great ninja.
Gobe?
Oh, Gobe, he is a great ninja. But Haru finds the beautiful mistress, Sally Jones, who needs his help. He gets brought to the mysterious land of Beverly Hills to unfoil a plot, blah, blah, blah. Will he become a great ninja? We'll
find out. I
think
really the blah, blah, blahs are important here.
I didn't see any part as blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. I mean, because the specific thing is he needs to stop people from photocopying money.
Yes.
The problem that they had was that they only had one half of the bill.
Yeah, so the bad guy has one half of the bill and needs to find the other half of the bill. He's kind of a bumbling detective who finds himself in the wrong place at the right time again and again. He gets framed for murder. He does a lot of pitfalls and smacking his head. If you thought George of the Jungle had a lot of Brendan Fraser smacking into stuff, just you wait for this film.
Yeah.
And that is not a thing I have a problem with. I think the slapstick is pretty brilliant.
Yes. There is nothing but slapstick in this movie. Jared.
Yes.
You love this movie.
Love would be an understatement.
Hey, Bowie. Come on up, bud. Okay, while Bowie lays down next to us, you were telling me before. So first of all, you didn't actually even rewatch this movie for this podcast because you know it start to finish.
I have seen this movie over 50 times, at least. So as a kid, I don't know if every kid does this, but you know, you go on road trips with your family.
Did you have one of those little TVs built in the back of the
Pepsi? What was it built in the back? It was like,
that's how the other half lives, huh?
All right, Chris, we've seen you on road trips, but it was like one of those old.
Jared grew up in Florida. You grew up with Zac Efron.
Let's not talk. Fancy. So in that van, you have a space that you could put like an old VHS TV.
Hell yeah. Okay.
So we had an old VHS TV. There was a few movies we would bring along the way, but there was always two that we definitely brought, me and my brothers being the we. Okay? One was Mortal Kombat.
Oh, wow.
And the second was Beverly Hills Ninja.
There's a theme there.
Yes, there is.
You guys fucking loved karate and kung fu and shit.
Were ninjas bigger in the 90s than they are now? Or like, are kids still into like karate? Was karate, I feel like we went through a karate boom during our childhood.
It was big karate boom. How far did you guys get in karate?
I never did karate.
Never did karate.
No, but definitely a lot of kids did.
You were a green belt.
I don't know if your dojo's different. That's not far from my dojo.
Our dojo's not homogenized.
I'm from Florida, dude. They could have been making this shit up as we went.
I never got past white belt.
I mean, I got white, yellow, green.
All right.
Yeah.
You stuck with it.
Still green.
Hell yeah.
So,
okay, when you think about the, just hit me. What makes this movie great?
Everything. So here's the thing. I miss comedy. I don't know where this is going to go, but if we relate it to where comedy is now, which comedy is great, television and movies, comedy's evolving. People are getting really good at writing it. There's amazing things happening in TV and film right now for comedy. But I do miss a comedy where it's like the premise is ridiculous. The idea that there is a real ninja dojo, like, and everyone at this dojo is a badass ninja. Don't get it twisted. These guys are ninjas, okay? And there's a shipwreck, like Tarzan, like George of the Jungle.
Jungie.
Like we know. Jungie, thank you. There's a shipwreck. There's a little white baby washed ashore, the only survivor that we know of, okay? It's sad. But what isn't sad is on this very serious Japanese island with very serious ninjas is an ancient prophecy. Ancient. This is just a story they have. And that white baby is happening to be, he's going to happen to grow up to be Chris Farley. That is right there, the craziest part of the movie. And then we let Chris Farley just live in this craziness, and he gives you heart. He gives you funny. He gives you hope.
That is not the craziest part of the movie. The movie this movie, if it was improvised, I would like be like, that was pretty good improv.
All right, Chris, why is this movie not good?
Because it doesn't make any sense. Nothing is earned at all. Everything feels like it's completely improvised. These guys learned like five things about Japanese culture and then recycle those five jokes over and over and over again.
Like, what are the jokes?
That you take off your shoes when you go inside. Like, I don't even think they Wikipedia'd like where ninjas come from.
They knew that everybody but Chris Farley was a badass fucking ninja.
I think you can root funny things in like things that are like
grounded
based in truth or reality.
And that's what
even if you told me, well, here are the four principles of what ninjaship is, and he's trying to get back to that in the silliest ways possible. Or if you earned a lot of stuff, that shit, none of that, none of the Japanese culture shit made any fucking sense at all. But whatever, maybe it's like pirates. Maybe it's like pirates and ninjas. You know, like, I'm not gonna be like, oh, culturally, you're messed up with pirates. Like, whatever, they're pirates. Okay, fine. But even if you do that, like, Chris Farley's story makes no sense.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
So things I liked, things I didn't like. Okay. Yeah. Some pledges from me.
That, right.
Yeah, some pledges from your boy Zach over here. The opening of this movie, I'm not going to lie, made me laugh despite myself.
Amazing.
There is a montage of this
little boy
bumbling Chris Farley. At first as a little boy, then
spills
as an adult.
The water.
Yeah, just fucking up again and again. And
again,
to Chris's point, it feels like a sketch. It's like, hey, here's an idiot in a ninja training sequence. It is stupid, but it's funny. You have him whacking his brother again and again. He spills boiling water over everybody. And I hate to admit how much I was laughing.
It's hilarious.
It felt like low blows again and again and again.
Yeah.
Like a lot of the punchlines are funny. When he flies, when they all fly up to enlightenment and
meditation.
He flies further and then like is going upside down. That's fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
That's a good joke because it's meditation and he can't grasp it, right? It's like, that's good. I like that. I like moments like that.
His haircut also perfect.
Perfect.
Chris Farley's stupid little mushroom
cut
is so fun.
They put a bowl on his head and snip, snip, snip.
I'll just pause there. Let's just talk about Chris Farley as a performer.
We can all agree that that was a pleasure. We can all agree that Chris Farley is a pleasure.
So what I liked about, in general, I should just say, Chris Farley is one of the best performers ever.
And this is something that everyone who worked around him, everyone who saw him live, everyone at SNL, they were like, he was electric. He was a wrecking ball of energy. No one stole a scene the way Chris Farley stole a scene.
And to Reinecker's point, I think a lot of it does feel improvised because he is at a level in that moment, I believe, in his career. In that moment, you're giving him a vehicle in this bizarre story that just loosely makes sense enough in a fun way. You're just letting him have fun over and over. Like, it weirdly makes me think of like the Charlie's Angels movies. Like, you're just throwing scenes at us with different costume changes and bright colors and different crazy scenarios that these three hot super agents can be hot super agents in. And to me, that's like, oh, Chris Farley's gonna play a ninja.
Yeah,
that's a movie.
Even less in the I like see the I mean maybe and maybe this speaks as a positive, but I like very much see all the sets, all the, you know what I mean. I wrote down in the Japan scene where he's going through like the boxes. I'm like, we know it's in Japan because of the Japanese. Like, but otherwise it looks nothing like Japan. It's like,
it's
obviously
very clearly filmed.
Everything's obviously very Hollywood. You know, it was all done on a soundstage. But I mean, that's what they did. They were like, let us set this up for Chris Farley and like go perform. And he did.
And if you put Chris Farley in basically anything for 90 minutes, he's gonna make you laugh.
The whole time.
It's impossible for a performer of that caliber to not make you laugh.
And on top of it, real quick, not only is he going to make you laugh in this movie, in a lot of ways, this is a rom-com. It's not, but it is. There is a love story. You root for him. He gets a girl. I mean, there is more than just...
He's not just going to make you laugh.
He loves his brother. He wants his brother to do well, even though you think this guy could be like, damn, I wish I was the great ninja. When his brother gets it, he's like, you deserve it, Gobei. There are moments of sincerity in this performance. He's amazing on so many levels.
I think that the movie is told with the subtlety of a jackhammer performing a root canal. I think that the movie is a little too reliant on him as a physical performer, and
what scenes
is potentially
did not
too broad
I think
for
it was
his own.
What scenes don't work?
I don't know. Let's get Chris get funny, and then just let Chris be funny, and then we want him to go to Beverly Hills. So it's just have the dad give him a bag of gold, even though the dad doesn't really seem to like him, and he just failed out of
ninja
school.
The dad loved him. The dad definitely loved him. The dad was embarrassed that he was him. But the dad was like, but he's our him. Like, if that, he's like, he's our ass. Can we curse on this?
Fuck yeah. Okay,
so it's their asshole. It's the dojo's asshole that they adopted, who's probably from Beverly Hills.
Yeah, like, why? Why? Just because of the prophecy?
Why did Tarzan get raised by animals?
You'll see. I don't get that comparison.
Why George the Jungle?
What do you mean, why? He's a shipwrecked
baby. You see the love between them.
I do see the
love.
You
see the
love
between the family. I didn't understand. I didn't see any of the love. I just saw him fucking up the whole
school. I saw the love every time.
And then burning their sacred text.
So it's a different love.
And then knocking down everything. And then some fucking woman walks in and she's like, hi, my name's Mrs. Exposition. And here's what the rest of the movie is about. And they're like, but who are you as a person?
You told that scene out of order. She comes in before he destroys the dojo. Which is why the exposition is given, because it's active.
No, she walks in and literally says, like, here's what I need. Like, someone's entering stage in an improv show.
Is this so-and-so a dojo? And he's like, yeah, this is the dojo. And she's like, are you a ninja? And he's the only one there because, out of love, the dad, his adopted father, who's the sensei of this place, is like, we're going on a ninja mission tonight. And he's like, oh, I'm excited. He's like, you can't come, because he loves him, but he doesn't want to hurt his feelings. They're dancing around this real adult's now feelings, who doesn't understand he's the black sheep. Okay, so this guy who doesn't fit in, they're just trying to keep him around. But we have a very important mission for you. You're going to watch the dojo. And of all the nights everyone else is out and about on a secret ninja mission, the one guy watching the secret ninja dojo takes on a very secret ninja assignment in Beverly Hills.
From a woman who just walks into the dojo.
Well, she doesn't just walk in. She has an alias, Chris. She's thought about this. Her name isn't actually Sally Field.
She's thought
it's
of
Allison.
It. She's okay? thought of it, and her name is just Sally Jones. Because, like, if you thought about it, you could put in a little more effort.
Did the cops think about it? We call people Jane Does.
But
John Does.
Going back to Chris Farley, I wish that, like, again, I laugh so much during this movie, but so many scenes are reduced to just him going, oh, oh, oh,
or
And I just, like,
which scenes?
I mean, like, yeah, like, okay, so when Sally comes, he knocks stuff over, he breaks the ashes of all the fallen brothers.
Well, the comedy in it is that he's supposed to be watching the dojo. If we're talking about it like it's an overall sketch, let's put it in that context. The whole movie is a sketch that's a moving music video of sketches or ideas for one amazing sketch performer, okay? So if we're watching it under that guise, he was asked to watch the dojo. He then shows this stranger around the dojo to all the different parts and special parts of the dojo while fucking up the whole dojo. That's slapstick comedy.
It is. But how many times, and this is my first question, how many times in a movie can we watch Chris Farley knock into things?
I was ready to watch that movie over 50 times, so... Like
all
90 minutes the whole way through. There wasn't a moment. Also, talk about the other characters. Gobei is an amazing performance given by Mortal Kombat Lee, Liu Kang. So they got the most, in that moment, that is like Leonardo DiCaprio of fucking Kung Fu.
But
and
so
they got him to play the cool brother.
We just,
Chris Rock is an amazing
We're just not invested with the fact that he burns their sacred text. Like, that's okay with us.
You see this as like an essential... elemental building block of comedy. This is like the
or
hydrogen
at least
it
was
atom.
A build on to what that building block was in slapstick comedy. So like there isn't in that moment of time, comedy changes with what we ask comedy to be as a viewer, right? So every few years, audiences are going to want new things out of comedies, right? So in that moment of time, what we wanted out of comedy was vehicles for the funniest people to just be funny.
It's a great point. I like in the 90s, it was very slapstick. It was very like weird characters in stupid situations. You talked about the water boy, right?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Adam Sandler's whole early
Billy
career
Madison?
Was, I'm just going to be a weird guy in a place I don't belong. In the mid 2000s, that's when we got the man-child movement as ushered in by Judd Apatow.
Yep.
Following the success of The Office, we had cringy comedy and mockumentary comedy. Right now, I don't know what we're... I mean, right now, I think we're actually in, like, sad comedy, in truthful comedy.
I think we're in, like, really grounded slice-of-life comedy that someone could relate to, which is great. I think comedies are fun to track in what we ask for. I don't think any comedy should be lesser or better than others in that sense. It's just at the times of what audience want.
It is interesting that of all of the types of media, comedy is the one that travels the worst, right? Overseas and through time. You ask, I mean, the reason that comedies are not made with big budgets anymore is because they don't perform well overseas. And so much of our the Hollywood studio.
Well, it's very reference point and culturally relative.
Yeah.
So like, if
and
it's
comedy
not-
is cultural inherently.
Yes.
And culture is of its time.
Right.
So like you watch back, like you ask people to watch Duck Soup. I think it's hilarious. But some people will be like, that's not fucking funny. I think it's fucking funny. But comedies are of the time they are born. And so now kind of the question we're asking is, are you looking at this through a 90s lens and we're looking at this through a modern lens?
Did
and
you laugh?
Despite myself, it was funny.
And
I
of all
Chris
comedies.
Farley is funny.
So to your point, though, of all comedies, and they don't do well overseas, you know what does do well?
Physical slapstick
comedy. So if I show this to... Here's my point about this movie. You can read into any detail and be like, well, the whole movie didn't make a lot of logical sense because he would burn a thing that apparently mattered. Nobody brought it up again. But I can tell you that the dumbest person on the earth can enjoy this movie and the smartest parent bringing their kid to see it can laugh at this movie.
You know what?
That's
Chris, I bet you if you got 100 people from across the globe and showed them this movie and showed them Wedding Crashers, I bet you this would score better.
I bet you.
Yeah, I mean, so I just looked at other movies, which are slapstick movies from the 90s, and I think they are much better than this movie.
Hit me.
I think Dumb and Dumber is much better than this movie.
I agree.
I think Scary Movie is
Scary
much
Movie
better.
Is not better than Beverly Hills Ninja.
I think Scary Movie
Scary
is much
Movie
better.
Is not better than Beverly Hills Ninja. You are crazy.
I would put it on the same level as like a Police Academy 4. Like some like spin-off. It's like it's not the best version.
Yesterday when we were talking about this, Jared literally yells, "You insolent child."
The Mask. The Naked Gun. I love Naked Gun.
The Naked Gun's fantastic.
But and there's so much better. There's so much real story.
But wait, you just had a problem with Beverly Hills Ninja because it felt like a sketch. The Naked Gun isn't one long sketch.
But Leslie Nielsen takes it so seriously and they have one clear
Chris Farley takes that movie so seriously.
But they have one like it the it's just way funnier in my mind. This idea, they don't really play with any style. The things what there it's a series of sketches back to back. So it's like, wouldn't it be funny if Chris Farley played a Fu Manchu's chef?
The hibachi
guy?
Chef, yeah.
Wouldn't it be funny if he now played a Wisconsin guy? Wouldn't it be funny if while he's playing this Wisconsin guy, a water fountain showed up and the water fountain fell, you know, like then the mustache falls out of his water.
Lost it.
That, you know, like I like that, like the only joke that like built upon itself was this idea that his brother's coming in to save him. And that was a funny joke, but like there wasn't real a variation on the joke.
You mentioned Liu Kang from Mortal Kombat. I forget the name of the actor and I'm so sorry. He plays Gobi, his brother.
Yeah.
And that is to me one of the most genuinely enjoyable through lines of the movie.
Oh, if it didn't have that, it would have nothing.
Gobi is sent to America to secretly trail his brother and basically clean up after him, make sure he does well.
So because he's a real ninja.
Because he's a real ninja. Yeah. Chris Farley's fucking up left, right, and center. And Gobi is accidentally getting fucked up by him
the
repeatedly.
Whole time. Yeah.
And then also cleaning up his mess. It's a really fun runner. It's the same joke over and over and over again.
But in new ways.
But somehow it works every single time. And I think it is because, as you mentioned, like he is really real. Like he is a great, excellent physical performer. He's grounded. Mm-hmm. And watching him suffer again and again while Chris Farley is clueless to the harm he is causing is fun.
I kind of wondered as I watched the movie. I was like, did this get added in reshoots? Because he's never, other than at the mansion, like they're never in the same place. It's always like he throws it in there. The reaction is in a different shot.
The brother and Chris Farley?
Yeah, or maybe it was like a filming schedule thing. But I was like, why are they never in the same shot? But because they are during the mansion.
He's not supposed to be seen by. That's the whole game. Is that Chris Farley is going on this mission that he's finally allowed to go on because he's never been allowed to be a ninja. And finally, his adopted father, Sensei, is like, you can go to Beverly Hills and do what your heart is telling you to do. And the second he goes out, he's like, you have to go be a real ninja and make sure he is okay because we love him and he's not going
to
be okay.
It kind of felt like if I were directing a student film comedy the way I would have shot it.
The whole shooting of everything?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Everything. It felt very
with
like
punch-ins?
Everything felt like it was on a set.
I don't think it was well made.
It was just kind of like all right here.
Well, no offense to either of you, but it was very well made. It's significantly better than most bad movies. It's not a bad movie. So
I was going to say
Fast and the Furious, but I stopped and I said...
How fucking dare both of you?
It is better than Fast and the Furious.
How fucking dare both of you?
I don't know if we've blown out the mics. I mean,
but
it has Chris Farley, so yeah. But if it didn't have Chris Farley...
Chris Rock?
I don't think Chris Rock is at his funniest in this.
Chris Rock is... It's not Chris Rock at his funniest. It's a young Chris Rock. So it's like a really young Chris Rock who has a funny minor character.
It's
which, by
very
the way,
weird to
the
see.
His whole entire character is, I live in the hood. That's his whole character.
That's not his character at all. His whole entire character is,
I live
I
in
want
the hood
you to
and
train
I want
to
be
you're
a ninja. Because I'm
Chris
afraid.
Farley is not a really good ninja. So the idea of all
I
of
do,
sudden,
I do love when that scene when he's like, you're a ninja, and just like believes him, doesn't question
that's
the situation
amazing.
At all. That's a funny idea.
It's wild seeing Chris Rock as a bit part, absolutely crushing. Not great material.
No, the material's funny between the two. The material is funny.
He's really good, and it's like, oh wow, give this guy more.
I think almost all of the characters are two-dimensional. They rarely have a thing about them where you're like, oh, I didn't expect that. Like, I don't know anything about his brother, which we've explained as one of the main characters, the central relationship.
He's a good ninja.
The central love story.
Very good ninja.
What do you know about him other than the fact that he's a good ninja?
He's a great ninja.
He's the best ninja in the dojo.
Yeah, that's right. You don't know any secondary factor.
Brother.
Could have been funny. And he has this thing. What is the three-dimensional part of his character? Same with the woman who just says a bunch of exposition in the first scene. What is the second part of her character? If I'm giving notes to these guys who did write Mitt Romney style, like I was like, what else have they written after this? And it turns out that they wrote one Funny or Die parody of Gangnam Style about Mitt Romney called Mitt Romney Style. And I was like, yeah, that's exactly where these guys' careers went. So three-dimensional characters is one thing. I just think as far as things go through, the way that things could be earned, the way that if there was just a water fountain in some early scene that he had a spat with and then later on needed a water fountain, like if that was a runner, that would be smarter.
Explain what you're talking about.
Like things are not earned. The water fountain came out of absolutely nowhere.
So in this moment of the movie,
he
has now hijacked Will Sasso. They kidnap, like they basically knock out Will Sasso. Chris
Farley. Who's a very funny character.
This is way later in the film. So he knocks out Will Sasso, who's a very funny character. He's the guy that's actually being hired by the criminals to make the bills.
So, he's an ink specialist.
Or
Chris
whatever.
Farley puts on a fake mustache.
To be that guy.
He's touring this factory. He goes to take a drink from a water fountain. The mustache gets knocked off.
Yeah.
And then Gobei whips it back on from a distance because he's dressed as like a construction worker.
Pretty
in the
dope.
Warehouse.
Yeah, I think you could have given me really little justifications and I would have been like, cool, for why he had the background to imitate this ink guy or why she had the background to imitate this ink guy. Like, I just knew no backstory. Nothing was earned. Everything felt completely improvised and out of nowhere. So I just didn't think it was very, like, cohesive writing. I don't think the writing is what makes that movie good.
So I've never watched that movie been like, this writing is masterful.
You just thought it was funny when you were a kid, and I think that's okay. But I'm just
I watched it like five times recently. Fun. And I watch it with a lot of people. Here's the thing. I come from South Florida. So I've watched it with drug dealers. I've watched it with my friends out here. I've watched it with all kinds of people. And everybody can laugh at Chris Farley being a bad ninja. Everybody.
Drug dealers? They know funny.
Drug dealers love this movie.
Drug dealers.
I've always listen, it sounds stupid, but when I'm writing a comedy, if I can have like a hood dude from South Florida laugh at the same comedy that I can get a writer friend from LA laugh at, that's a good fucking comedy. That's a good movie. That's a broad level of comedy. That is why I know for a fact that most people watching this, if you haven't already seen it, you're welcome. I just showed you a funny movie.
It is something I think about a lot, is like the pretension I have about some art is like, yeah, but like I'm in the minority and that means I'm wrong. Like I can say all I want about how fucking, I don't know what, like What We Do in the Shadows is one of the best comedies on TV right now.
It's a good comedy.
But it's not touching the numbers that Big Bang Theory gets. And that kills me.
Well, Big Bang Theory is it. I don't watch Big Bang Theory either, and it does get insane numbers, but there is a happy middle sometimes where there's lightning in a bottle and something is made and a bunch of different kinds of people can watch it.
Yeah.
It's like the brand Gucci. You've got Harry Styles wearing it and you've got fucking Future wearing it. Everybody will wear Gucci. It's that happy medium. That's that kind of comedy.
Beverly Hills Ninja is the Gucci of comedy.
I don't know.
I have another question.
I don't know what brings people to Gucci is the same thing that brings. I think it's more like
Gucci is status.
Like Hanes or like a
for sure.
Like Walmart.
Hey, they make great.
No, it's not Walmart.
Walmart brings these people together more than I would compare it to Gucci.
You don't see bougie people in a Walmart.
I think Breaking Bad is the Gucci that brings all types of people together and is actually
totally.
Really, really quality.
Totally.
I think this is
okay,
like...
Okay, so Beverly Hills Ninja is the Breaking
Hanes.
Bad of comedy.
I wouldn't say that either.
Wait.
But I will say this. I think you're watching it expecting things to be given to you because you're watching it knowing what comedies can give you now. But a lot of comedy learns from the things. Like, there's a lot of comedians since Beverly Hills Ninja that notices, oh, you could make that character, to your point, three-dimensional, not necessarily two-dimensional. Because in that moment of making cinema, like movie comedies, they're caring about, the world is around Chris Farley. The world is how people feel to Chris Farley and how Chris Farley feels about the world. They don't have to push past it.
Yeah, I just feel like it's even more of like an 80s comedy in the 90s. Think the 80s...
It's just like Roxbury, man.
The comedies
are there other characters
it.
In the Roxbury
like,
that
I,
are 3D?
I like sketch
Guys,
movies.
Guys, I don't know that Roxbury is a good movie.
I love Night at the Roxbury.
I watched it recently and I thought it was better than I remember.
Okay.
Night at the Roxbury is a fantastic movie.
Because I think
movie.
there are funny running jokes
sure,
and there
sure.
are funny relationships.
I wouldn't hold that up as a paradigm of a great...
That's what I'm saying.
Film.
It's an SNL movie.
So
you
for
know
this
what I mean?
Film, it is an SNL movie, and it's like a movie. I agree that it is like a big long sketch, and inside of this sketch is like opportunities at minor versions of the sketch.
I'm actually
curious.
What
I'm saying is, I'm not a stickler for like things being silly or things not making.
But you're
sense.
A stickler. You're a stickler for logic.
I am a little bit of a stickler
so
for logic.
Maybe
yeah.
you should drop the stickler of logic to watch a funny movie. Because if you're thinking, when you're watching the dojo get set on fire and they transition out of it to the next scene and you're worried about that, you're not watching the movie.
Yeah, I just think it's a good question when you're writing or performing comedy to ask yourself why. Like, why is this character doing this? And I was finding myself constantly
That's
going,
for the people
going,
that have to
why?
Figure out how to be funny. Those aren't the motherfucker Chris Farley. You don't have to ask yourself anything when you're as good as Chris Farley. You're gonna make people laugh for 90 minutes in the stupidest movies.
Okay, that's
so like,
fair.
I think just to kind of close this part of this discussion, where I land on this is that Chris Farley is a great performer in a movie
that is good.
Well, but it's good because he's great, right? Like that's like when LeBron was on that shitty Cleveland team. Like, no, it was just LeBron.
Why do you watch a movie?
For I watch it for a lot of things.
But why
but you
do
know
you
what
watch
I mean?
A movie?
Like, if you took Chris Farley out of this movie crumbles.
If you took Chris
House
Farley
of
out of this movie,
apart.
It doesn't get made.
It doesn't exist.
So,
yeah.
But it only exists because Chris Farley existed. And if Chris Farley is the lead of your movie on that level of a budget in the 90s and you watch it and it ends where it ends, you should be able to say pretty wholeheartedly, that was great.
I'm going to move us on to the conversation that everyone's been waiting to hear three straight white guys talk about. Mm-hmm. Is this film a respectful representation of Asian culture.
I've been waiting for this. So I think it's a little bizarre to be three white guys deciding on it. Number one.
Yeah,
I should say that. Like, I don't really know if my decision matters.
But definitively.
Answer. But as I think of the film, every race of people being shown outside of Chris Farley, I never took it as them being the joke. I took them as being a reality, and Chris Farley is the fish out of water in their reality.
Here's what I think the problem is.
Okay.
Is that, so the Asian actors in this film are all very competent. They're very cool.
Yeah.
But I think a couple too many times, the culture is the punchline. You know, we could look at a lot of them, but the movie flirts with stereotypes.
Oh, and for sure.
I would say the hibachi scene is the one that is just full on not okay.
Yeah.
That's the one where I watch back through my 2021
lens. He's basically wearing blackface.
It's the sounds that I'd rather not repeat.
Mm-hmm.
That is him just kind of pretending to be an Asian man.
He says the state Ohio. He says Ohio.
Again and again?
Yeah, that's
funny. I think to do that, you need to admonish the character within the scene, right? So, like, if the world around him was like, what you're doing is not okay, and then he kept doing his very broad thing, and it's like, oh, what? I'm just a guy doing hibachi. Then there's a way to do comedy there. I mean, and here's why it's over the line. Because the joke is, it's funny because he's pretending to be Asian, right?
And to be honest, I think in that moment of time, if I'm recalling the scene fairly vividly, like, I think they were worried less about offending anybody, and they were, like, really trying to get a joke out of Gobei dressed as a woman.
Right. Yeah.
Like
which
that,
also
that
is
seems
odd, yeah.
to be more of their focus as the filmmakers.
Yeah.
Like I think they
which,
were more.
By the way, Gobei was pulling it off, and I did not even realize halfway through the scene that
really?
It was Gobei. Yeah.
They have two of those jokes in there. They also when he's looking for a blonde woman.
Oh yeah, he's another
turns
woman.
Turns around, there's a man with long hair, and he's like.
Well, he doesn't go yikes. He goes, I thought you were my friend, and the way he responds is funny. It had nothing to do.
I actually thought
right,
that
yeah.
was a pretty good.
That was
scene.
A pretty good.
Yeah.
Scene.
I thought it was more of a joke about how a bunch of. Men in LA look like Fabio.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't whole, about. Whole, so, the context, yeah. the whole scene is like, I just need to find a blonde woman in Beverly Hills. How hard could that be? And then it's.
Yeah, that's
because he
of,
doesn't know anything.
Yeah, it was a good joke.
Also, that's right after another funny joke where he walks out and he's dressed like a pimp, and Chris Rock's like, you look like a pimp. And he's like, thank you. Like, because it's an idiot. It's a comedy about a version of an idiot who somehow achieves everything an idiot shouldn't achieve.
Right.
I don't disagree. That scene isn't of the best in the film.
I think more so my thing is that the characters, like the culture and characters from that culture are just kind of faceless. I don't think they have very many lines. So even though it's a positive stereotype, it's still a stereotype and it's still painting them as all the same. So
yeah, well put.
from that perspective, I think maybe there's a step towards like the fact that main characters are not all white people is maybe a step towards, but like, it's not like knowing like where we know now going like, yeah, no, but it employed Asian actors. I don't think that's like giving yourself a pat on the back.
Another thing that made me laugh is that the filmmaker and I made me laugh in not the best way is that the filmmakers clearly were like, what songs about Asia do we know?
I think okay, I'm turning
we've
Japanese.
We got Kung Fu Fighting. Okay, we're going to do that song three times.
Yep.
Great. And then I think I'm turning Japanese, which is a very offensive song about a man masturbating. That's what the song is about.
Really?
Yeah, it's fucked up. It's like he's...
And then when he
are you really serious?
Yeah, you're right. I don't. There's something that definitely feels racist about
watching
him.
It back as an adult. Something that I didn't remember that I was pleasantly surprised by was when like in that second act is ending and he's going to like go save everybody and save Allison or Sally Field, whatever her name is. All the callbacks at once, like, where are my shoes going? And then he goes, thanks, asshole, to the valet. And then he's ready with Chris Rock. Like, it's all happening so quick that it's like, this is how good comedies were being made until we got better at them.
Yeah, yeah. I do like jokes like the thanks, asshole.
When they
joke.
Started calling things back, that
and
you'd
I
just
like
been
the
seeing,
structure of
it goes
the
to your
shoe
water fountain
joke.
Point of like, they started calling
yeah,
it back.
I like that. Yeah.
yeah.
And things feel earned. I think about like a modern, comedy like a studio comedy like Game Night, like everything is based out of like relationships in Game Night and everything, and there are so many fucking hilarious callbacks.
Game Night's great.
That again, like we couldn't I get what you mean. They paved the way, but like the glass table callback in Game Night is freaking hilarious.
And but Game Night's made
the way
into
they keep doing
like 2018.
Yeah, I know, but I think stuff like that was happening in Austin Powers and stuff.
Where?
I'm still alive. The like the way that he has
that's a button on the credits, and it's one callback. It's not.
No,
it's not
at the
a
very
bunch.
Beginning.
Dude, they call back like five different runner jokes as he's walking to his car. That's good comedy. Like they
is
are
at the very end.
Yeah, it's towards the end. When he goes to like save everybody, and then Chris Rock, who's being trained by a guy who has no business training anybody, accidentally pulls a Chris Farley himself and accidentally helps in the saving of Sally. It's a silly. It's not. If you're watching it with weight of logic or weight of making sense of normal day things, because that's what comedy seem to do right now, you're not watching the movie right.
Genuinely wonderful moment towards the end of the film. Chris Farley's getting the shit kicked out of him. His brother comes in. Gobe comes in, saves the day.
Yep.
But then Gobe is getting teamed up on.
That's how good does this next part feel?
When and
come on.
Come on now.
Dude.
Come on, dude.
Dude. You know.
You know?
You know, you were asleep.
I remember last night.
No. But you watched it a couple months ago.
I did, and I remember this part a couple
months ago.
I remember
Farley, Chris Farley goes,
nobody messes with my brother. And he
wait,
does
but what is
the...
Wait. So Chris Farley sees him and goes, I may not be a great ninja, but
nobody messes with my brother. And he flips like a ninja. For the first time. And by the way, he's inherited the great white ninja garb that was sent to him earlier. I don't know if you got to that part, but there was like waiting for him in his hotel room when they felt like he was ready. He flips down and all of a sudden he kicks fucking ass.
With the power of love. The power of love. For I mean, from that point forward, Chris Farley is just full on an incredible ninja.
It clicks.
And the joy, guys, the joy of watching get. Chris Farley kick ass as a ninja. Pretty irresistible.
Pretty worth watching the whole film.
So, I mean, I guess if somebody asked me, is it, you know, because I've come around a little bit during this podcast, because I think if somebody asked me, hey, I want to do comedy and I've never seen Beverly Hills Ninja, should I watch it?
Yes.
I would say yes.
Yes.
And I also think you're right in a lot of ways. It is like a good step one for comedy. The fact that, yes, it doesn't matter if I'm a ninja because it's about my brother. Like in comedy, we care more about characters when we care about their relationships. So wow. Like that is a good thing to know. But it's very step one to be like, my brother, I love him. And we're like, boom, boom, tsh. But like that's because we like relationships.
But if you go to an audience,
you know what I mean? Like, and now we can dive deeper into relationships and they can be more significant and funnier, more specific, more three-dimensional. But also, but the building blocks
are all important in everything. I'll go back to basketball. If you go to a basketball game tonight and somebody did a crossover, you wouldn't even say anything. It would just be part of a play. Years ago, if somebody did a crossover in a game, the whole crowd went nuts. So it's similar in that sense of like, you've got to learn how to do certain things and see it work before other people 30 years from then do it three-dimensional. Like, I think if you watch this kind of movie in a room with someone who loves it and they are laughing at the jokes from the beginning, your experience is different.
Hard to deny.
That might be true.
If you
me and my girlfriend
this,
both fell off at a similar time.
Has your girlfriend
time.
Seen it before?
I think so, yeah. When she was
did
she
like
younger.
It?
When she was a child.
But yeah, I had seen it when I was a child. And I when it got put on Netflix,
well,
I was like,
I think
like,
we
oh
went,
my.
Cool, Chris Farley, let's watch it. And then we were laughing and then we were slowly like, this is bad.
Well, so
and it's about the time when Sally Jones comes in.
She's
when
fantastic.
She's just like, hi, I'm here as a woman to
oh,
tell
so you
character.
Mean 8 minutes into the movie. Yeah.
Dude, you know what I think about when I watch that movie?
What?
He is too big for this world.
I agree.
He was too good for him to find the magic in that kind of movie that he found. Because the movie's basic with a silly plot. I miss basic movies with silly plots. So like, this is a basic film with a silly plot, and this guy gives you everything in it. Heart, laughter, soul.
That was beautiful. It's really both my praise and my critique of the movie. And I know we're going in circles here, but like, he's great, and I don't think the movie is, and he carries it on his goddamn back.
But
and
all the movie is
but
him.
But what
being
would
great.
Happen if it was him and great writers?
That's what I. That's
and
what
a great
I.
Director.
That's what I wish.
He almost. I mean, you want to talk about Mike Myers? Mike Myers signs on for Shrek because he died. He He was signed on for Shrek.
Yeah, I know. No kidding.
Yeah. Chris Farley had recorded
Isn't that
a
crazy?
Shrek.
No way.
He'd done lines.
Yeah, it's
and
nuts.
He died.
I had no idea.
So they brought in Mike Myers. Chris Farley was well on his way to listen.
That's wild.
Don't get it twisted.
Well, I
Chris
would
Farley
love-
had his. He was going to have a Punch Drunk Love moment. Okay,
yeah.
Like he was well on his way to show you a different side of how amazing he was.
I know.
He could have worked with amazing filmmakers, done really, really good films. But until then, when you're on the come up in the way that he was on the come up, in the time that he was in the come up, that movie is fantastic.
Wow. Mm. I honestly,
I would also say that, like, if he got to continue and didn't die, we would not really remember Beverly Hills Ninja.
No, you would watch it and be like, look how awesome this is, the way that you watch Night at the Roxbury, and look how awesome young Will Ferrell and Chris Kattan are.
Yeah.
The same thing.
You are winning me over. It doesn't change my opinion.
I wasn't
of
doing
what I
anything.
Watched.
I speak on behalf of an easy win. I went into this room knowing I was arguing justice and righteousness. This movie is at worst not your favorite comedy, and at best one of people's favorite comedies. This is a great movie to go watch at night, during the day, on a day off. You could smoke weed. You don't have to smoke weed. You could drink wine. You might not be a drinker. You'll still fucking laugh.
If you deal drugs, you will love this movie.
Drug dealers will laugh at this movie. And you know who else will laugh at this movie? Doctors. Scientists,
which are
drug
doctors
dealers.
Like drug dealers, yeah.
But teachers will laugh at this movie. People laugh at this
I
movie.
I like Jared's
all
commentary on the pharmaceutical industry in this episode,
which also they tip a very serious line that we should talk about. But no, but this movie is fantastic.
Preach.
In so many ways.
Love
Don't,
this movie.
Yeah,
therapists love this movie.
Given
taxi drivers, weirdly not a big fan,
but that makes sense.
Pharmacists, big fan.
Huge.
Also drug dealers.
Here's the thing. Watch this movie without the weight or the... I feel what you're trying to find. Like, you're like, that doesn't make sense that he would burn this ancient scroll and now nobody cares. It's like Back to the Future. Don't watch it to make sense of time travel. Watch it for the amazing movie that is Back to the Future.
But like, I'm not even mad that like...
Don't you dare put Back to the Future
That's a real master.
And like, Back to the Future has like three-dimensional relationships and characters and objectives and wants, and like, this just
Back
has,
to the Future is one of the best movies ever.
When I was like studying plays and stuff, I didn't really like farces. And
but
I thought farces were
don't you
over
like Princess
the top.
Bride?
I'm not a huge fan of farces.
You don't
not
like Princess
like,
Bride? Are you gonna sit
I,
here? I'm sorry, Chris.
My look,
Christopher,
I watch Princess
are you
Bride.
In one episode going to shit on the Fast and Furious
no,
and
no,
Princess
no.
Bride?
I just want to make it very
I'm
clear.
I'm not gonna shit on Princess Bride.
Before you say whatever you're gonna say,
you're wrong.
If you sided with Chris up to this point, you have one more moment to back out.
No.
But you're about to side with a man who's going to speak anything other than positive about the Princess Bride.
I didn't say that. I said that.
Okay, then what do you think about Princess Bride?
I think it's good. As a kid, I watched it twice in a church group that I thought had a bad vibe.
Well, yeah,
so
that makes sense.
My connection is with some weird church group, and everybody in the church group is like, let's watch Princess Bride again. And
you
I'm like,
need to rewatch that.
And
film.
I'm like, okay. And they're all like saying the lines as we're watching it. And I'm like,
okay, so you know
this
what?
Is not the church
it's
group vibe.
It's a four
vibe
quadrant
vibe
masterpiece,
with.
Sir.
So like, just, I'm sorry.
Actually, though,
that's what I'm saying.
No,
like, it's not
I
your
I disagree
fault.
With your opinion on the movie.
I don't really have an
but
opinion
as someone
on the movie.
That can, I went to Jew camp.
I don't
camp.
Think I got to watch it.
I was
all these
a sleepaway
fucking,
Jewish camp kid, okay? And there's a movie that all my friends love, and the reason I never loved it is because of what you just described, in that people would want to watch this movie, and they'd say every line, and I can't watch. I hate The Goonies.
Guys, what is going on here?
Wow.
The Goonies was that movie for me at Jew camp. Everybody wanted to watch it all the time. They knew all the lines. I didn't understand
this is,
it.
Oh my God, this is Princess Bride for me.
For me, that's
because I've
Goonies.
Only watched it a
but
couple
the Goonies
times.
Goonies is arguably a very good movie that I just can't. Get
I cannot
to.
Believe I
I've
gave
watched scenes
either
of Princess
you
Bride
a full
and
hour
like,
to
these
talk.
Are good.
Yeah,
I cannot
I
believe I gave
believe
you both
either.
A full hour to talk with these garbage takes coming in here.
Well, the Goonies is arguably a good film.
I mean, we're not
actually Goonies. Kind of like some ways doesn't hold up that great, but in most ways is fantastic.
I remember seeing it and being like, I get this, and then I. Like, as a child, was like, but I don't want to like it because all these people like it.
Some quick hits going back to the movie real quick. For my Lost fans, Dr. Marvin Candle's in this shit. got a quick cameo. Means nothing to you guys, but
who's he? I know
he's the guy who gets shot and dies when the counterfeit
and falls into the boat.
Into the boat.
That's a good actor.
Cool. Yeah, Marvin Candle. He's great.
He was great in that.
Dharma Initiative shout out.
That part is stupid, but it's also funny.
But it works because movies stupid, in the 90s funny. Are like, that's an action movie that would
that's
happen.
That's fine with
that's
me.
Like,
oh yeah, it's like an action parody. Yes. Like the elements
this
of parody
whole
works
action parody.
For me.
Yes.
That's why I like Austin Powers so much.
Chris asked a question the other day that I think is worth investigating.
What's the question?
Oh boy. Did the wonderful, incredible, perfect performer, Chris Farley, ever actually make a good movie?
How even dare that you ask that question? How dare you?
That was your question, right?
That's your question? How
but,
dare
but I
you?
Haven't seen Tommy Boy and Black Sheep in a long
time.
Time.
It was those are your answers.
It was just a question.
That's the answer to your
I
question.
I just feel
your
bad
stupid, stupid
that
question.
He... I think he could have like a Jack Black style career where he does serious roles and he's funny role. A Robin Williams style career.
He cannot do... Know? Okay, he's not going to be in Robin
you
Williams.
You don't think
lane.
That eventually
I
as
get
he matured...
But you know, Chris Farley ran... So Jack Farley could run.
Jack Black.
Chris Farley runs so Jack Black can run. Like, they don't, like, Chris Farley is before Jack Black. Chris Farley is OG to Nicki Minaj to Cardi
B. No, that's what I'm
you
saying.
Know,
like, I'm saying he could have
but he only
had a career like that where he really becomes a truly, like, not just a performance force, but like a fantastic actor. Like Robin Williams as a performance force when he's in the 70s. And then in the 90s, he becomes like a truly
Chris
good
Farley
actor.
Would have done that.
I think you're totally right.
He totally
right.
would
100%.
Have done that. Without question, he was going
especially
to
if he
that.
Got like sober or something. Like
yeah, but I'm saying, you know, he that talent, when you watch a movie like Beverly Hills Ninja or Tommy Boy or Black Sheep, from my perspective, very early in these films, you can just see this is not regular. It goes back to like some people are 6'5 playing basketball and some people are Kevin Durant, 7 feet tall yeah, with a jump shot. Like
he was just otherworldly.
He was otherworldly.
Oh, that was the other scene that fucking killed me. There's one scene in this movie where he jumps on a strip club stage and we get to see him kind of revive his SNL Chippendales moment.
Amazing.
It's great. And it's a delight. And I think we can all agree on here is we wish we had more of him.
That I wish for sure. We were cut robbed. Extremely short for that.
Guys, I have some fun facts.
I will rewatch this movie with you, and I think just being in the room with someone that enjoys it, you'll be like, oh, that's why this is funny.
So I've got a pro and a con here. So according to an A&E biography, Chris Farley hated this movie upon seeing it.
That changes nothing. Chris Farley was on drugs. Chris Farley had
he told his agent that he never wanted to do a movie like this ever again. He thought that it exploited his manic physical humor by dumbing it down and playing it out to an almost tiring and foolish degree. And according to Bernie Brillstein, Chris was so disappointed that he cried on his shoulder after the first screening.
Chris also died of an overdose. He wasn't, yeah, you know, I mean, there's right
time.
And wrongs to everybody. And here's what I will say to the other point, him having that reflection as an artist after one of his pieces of art coming out, that would have led him to doing more smart
yeah,
material.
It supports that idea
it supports
that his
the
career
idea he was
would
going
have gotten
to
better.
Go in not a dumbed down pop, you know, or pop, slapstick style of
yeah.
genre, but it works in that genre.
But I kind of, but that's a little bit what I was saying is
Steve
like,
Steve Martin does it with The Jerk.
He's better than this. You know what
but
I mean?
Steve Martin like, is better than The Jerk and The Jerk is fantastic. The Jerk is an amazing movie. And after he does The Jerk, you get out the dumb comedy, you go do smart comedy. Like every comic, young or old in age, but in the maturity of being where they are as an artist, I have no problem with him doing a movie he thinks is dumb.
I mean, guys, someday people are going to look back and be like, dude, Zach Kornfeld had to do the Try Guys. That dumb shit.
Exactly. And I don't think it's dumb shit, but you start genius. Somewhere to pivot. And where you start, you may not look back on because you were able to pivot to it, but other people are going to look back on that fondly.
I've got a positive. When asked what his favorite movie was, Christian Bale cited Beverly Hills Ninja as a movie that he must watch all
Beverly
the way
Hills
through
Ninja.
Every time it's on TV. Yeah. So, Christian Bale.
I don't know. Christian Bale is on drugs though.
And he's insane.
I'm just kidding, Christian Bale. I don't know.
No, Christian Bale, that makes sense. That's a really smart actor. I feel like really like eloquent artists like dumb stuff and dumb artists like really eloquent stuff. Like that makes sense.
That checks out.
Yeah, it totally checks out to me.
I'm Batman.
I bet you a lot of good directors would acknowledge this movie as like a bad good movie. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like if you talk to like Spielberg would probably be like, I love Beverly Hills. No.
He might call it like a guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
Oh.
For me, it's just a pleasure. I feel no guilt. It is a good film.
Before we go on to our final section, which
I love
you
when Jared does those little like slightly admits that it's bad, but then goes back.
It's not
goes,
bad.
But it's not bad.
It's not bad.
It's not bad. Okay. No, it's not.
Okay.
This is my Jared impression. It's like, no, but it's great. That's the thing. It's like, it's a perfect movie.
It's a great impression.
And like a lot of smart people might say that it's not good, but
that's a great impression.
It's perfect.
So before we go on to our final segment here, I just want to say, first of all, thank you. This
thank
was a little
you.
Bit of a
I'll
test.
Die here on this
we show. We never normally, you know, next week we'll be back to espousing the great things of movies that we love. But this week it was fun to try something a little different.
Sorry if Jerry and I got catty at all. I love you, Jerry, and I appreciate
I don't apologize.
Your
I love
take.
You, Chris.
And if you out there are on Team Jared and love this movie, Chris, we're sorry that we shat on a movie that you love. Right.
Oh yeah, sorry.
And if you're on Team Chris and don't like this movie, you're wrong.
So this is the part where we need to decide, is this movie a pleasure, a guilty pleasure, or just plain guilty? And this is your moment to sell it. Why should people watch it? Jared.
Top tier performance, top tier heart. Top tier energy. There ain't no guilt here, baby. It's all pleasure.
I'm going guilty pleasure because Chris Farley's performance in itself and the fact that there are only three Chris Farley movies, really?
I think so. I'd imagine he's in other things. But
sure,
those are-
but you know, yeah. Vehicles for Chris Farley. I would say it's absolutely a fun thing to watch. Although... I'm not going to take a class from the screenwriters.
And to that point, real quick, it is of the three, like, don't judge Chris Farley wholly off of Beverly Hills Ninja. I will go that far talking negatively about it. The other two are better films starring the same guy. That guy has to hold more weight on this movie.
This one's sillier.
Yeah.
Too.
So the other two are good movies. Like,
those
they're
are
all funny.
Grounded in reality.
Yeah. Yeah. They're more of a movie that you're looking for. Like those are by far more recepted better by everybody. But I just know and love that Beverly Hills. I mean, that's a great film.
My opinion for what it's worth. If you saw this as a kid and you love it,
which I
get it. If you're watching it now, watch them on SNL and then watch Kung Fu Panda instead. Guilty pleasure. Guys, this has been a show. This has been it. Thank you guys for throwing down. Who did you think won the fight? Let us know. Put your fisticuffs up. Let us know what you thought of this film. I would love for you guys to sound off. And let us know what other movies you want to see next. It's the goodbye time.
Goodbye.
See you later.
Bye.
Thanks for having a sec.